with your hosts, Jordan Mills, Matt Pfeffer, and TJ Nocar. This is the Fifth Line Podcast.
Cromwell with a shot they made. Follow-up hit! Oh, what a save by Sergei Bobrovsky!
And there's going to be a fight. Golden Trout! Oh, he just unloaded with a right hand right into the kisser of Milan Lucic! Here's Ryan Johansson with a puck down low for Boone Jenner, and he scores! It's tipped to the neutral zone. Foligno's got it. Comes in. Shoots to the empty net. And he scores! A hat trick for Nick Foligno! Down to Jack Johnson. Backhanded shot. And he scores! And I got two words for you. Game over!
It's been a while, but we're back on the air. This is the Fifth Line Podcast. I'm Jordan, joined by TJ Nocar, Matt Pfeffer. What's up, guys?
It's like you said, it's been a while. What, it training has, camp?
I think it has.
Since then, we've had the entire preseason
the problem
and 10
is,
games.
You know, the Jackets were having second thoughts about our show. You know, the ratings are just terrible.
Do we even know what the ratings are?
No, I have no idea. I'm just kidding.
We don't have an app for that.
We don't, but hey, we are back. Just life gets in the way, am I right? We're three busy adults.
Yeah. I don't know how busy I am.
Well, yeah, you're running. Never mind. You're on that.
Keep it to yourself, Jordan.
It's to myself. I won't let the world know.
I currently finding my way in life, okay, guys? I'm finding my way in life.
You've been finding your way for 35 years.
That's not true.
He's going to end up finding himself into a van down by the river.
We will be.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
It'll be a pickup truck by the river.
But
is that when Battle Cat finally breaks down and that's where you're stuck
at? It's already broken.
It's already broke.
Battle Cat is.
Oh, is that why it's not outside?
Yeah, I got the loaner truck from the fam. So
with a little strobe light on top.
Yeah, it's an ex Columbia Gas truck, and the strobe light's still attached to it.
Do you use it to your advantage?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've parked in front of curbs, put a couple cones there, turned on the strobe light, and they think I'm working.
That's all you need. If you ever want to get into a building, just carry a box, too. Nobody ever stops anybody that has a box.
You got to make sure it's got some sort of logo on it, though. It can't just be a generic box, because half the time, who delivers stuff without their logo on it?
That's very true. Good point. But, hey, a lot's happened since our last podcast. Obviously, our last podcast was training camp. And so we got off to a little rocky start, eh? Just a little bit.
I'd say we fumbled right out of the gate.
it was pretty bad.
Pretty bad, yeah, definitely.
It's like, since we're talking about cars, it was pretty much we were driving down the street, the engine blew, the wheels fell off. And
we were basically, we were Danica Patrick driving down.
Here
you
go. Are we making a NASCAR or an IndyCar reference this time?
This is NASCAR.
No. Danica is not in. She used to be. Come on. Get with it. Okay.
She's the GoDaddy girl. Come on.
Yeah.
We literally cannot get through a single show. We weren't even like 10 minutes into the show before you made a plug for NASCAR.
You don't understand. The playoffs are going on right now, and this is very important.
Gordon has advanced to the final eight, and I'm excited because he's going to win this championship in his last year.
My driver's in there, so.
Yeah.
You know what playoffs haven't started, and the ones for the sport that we're actually talking about right now is NHL. Okay. We still have several months for those. So let's talk about what we've done so far.
Let's go back to that.
Let's not talk about what we haven't done so far.
That's true. That'd probably be the better route to go. Maybe talk about the last two games and not the first eight.
All right, well, I'm just going to throw it out there right away. We started 0-7, 0-7-0. And, of course, that then led to head coach Todd Richards and the Blue Jackets parting ways.
Yes.
And then the Jackets bringing
sad
in.
Day.
Now, starting 0-7, obviously it's already, you know, we edit that together. I don't know what you're pointing at.
No, we could hear Nicole over the microphone.
Gotcha. So, starting 0-7, obviously the deed's already been done. Coach Richards and the Jackets have parted ways. Tortorella's been brought in. Do you think starting 0-7 was that the right move right away to get rid of Coach Richards? Do you think it should have gave a little more time? Obviously, you know, the fans were, I think, kind of partial on it as well, depending on what Twitter feed you're looking at, because Twitter got kind of
It got kind of it got violent.
It was like people were throwing things.
It's like the fifth line decided to split up into the union the union soldiers and all that stuff, and they ended up having their own little civil war.
It was rough.
It was rough for a little bit.
There was a mutiny, that's for sure.
TJ, we'll start with you. 0-7 start. If you are JD and you're Yarmo, you know, are you thinking about a coaching change, right?
Well, I mean,
right this early in the season?
Looking back, I mean, this is nothing against Todd Richards because he's been a fantastic coach. He's kind of been, you know, one of the head guys that have helped turn hockey around in Columbus, but he has a very bad record of starting the season off slow.
Yeah.
And that was one thing we kept harping on all off season and with the new acquisitions, that we can't start slow. And it wasn't even the fact that we started slow, it's that it was historically bad. Like the 0-7 should say record, I believe, surpassed the modern era previous records where they had multiple teams that had tied for 0-6.
If we would have went, I think, 0-9, we would have actually broken the
all-time
record.
0-11 was the 43-44 New York Rangers, I believe, but that was also during the time when there was...
We were so close. Why not try to break the record?
Well, yeah, that's not a record you want to break.
But we have a lot of bad records. Let's not add one.
If you think about it, though, we kind of did set the record. It was modern era. The Rangers back then, it was only, what, six teams, maybe seven in the league at that time, and I believe World War One or two was, I think it was two was going on at the time.
It was after that, but yeah, you're correct.
But so, I mean,
sorry, History Channel buff just chimed in on that one.
This is the game show guy here. but yes, I mean, we had an historically bad start already going, and the players just weren't, I don't know if it was that they weren't playing for them, they weren't playing Blue Jackets hockey.
Yeah.
They were trying to do things that looked like that they weren't used to doing.
I don't think. The issue was them not playing for Coach Richards, because I think it's evident that all the guys loved the guy. And even, you know, when the deed was done and Richards was, you know, asked to leave, Bob Bobrovsky came out and said he felt bad because it was his fault. So, I mean, you know, I think the players obviously loved Richards, and I don't think, you know, not playing for him was an issue or the issue.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe not responding, in a sense, to what he was saying.
Well, I mean, Bob even said that was his guy. Like, he really wanted to rally. Everybody wanted to play for Todd Richards. Problem is, I think they just needed to change it up, because one of the things with young teams is that they get complacent in some aspects of their game. They've, you know, a lot of people, I mean, I'm not saying this, I'm not speaking for the team, but it seemed like a lot of guys had gotten their contracts, they were satisfied. And I think they really wanted to go out there and win, but they weren't doing it the right Blue Jacket way.
Yeah.
And I think
– do you think that a lot of people predicted the Jackets? And obviously, we still have 72 games to go, so any of those predictions can still come to fruition. They predicted the Jackets to, you know, make a deep run in the playoffs. You know, a couple analysts on ESPN, TSN were calling us to possibly win the Cup. Do you think the fact that we are a young team, still one of the youngest in the National Hockey League, do you think the pressure was getting to the guys, or do you think that, you know, they just thought they were going to come out and win?
I think the latter right there. I think they were just going to – a lot of them thought they were going to come out and win. We played in that stretch of the 0-8, we actually played maybe two and a half periods of hockey that was solid Blue Jacket hockey, and that was the first game.
Yeah. The first game was great.
Yeah, until
the last 6 minutes or something.
Beyond
like
the
that.
Last 6 minutes of like 30 seconds of that 6 minutes.
Yeah,
like it was just like it happened so quickly.
You know, I would honestly say that if that didn't happen, we probably wouldn't have seen the start. Obviously, we wouldn't have been winless, but I think that would have helped the team going forward right then and there to maybe snag a win, or if they only lost by say a goal. But that can be deflating your home opener with such a big, you know, I don't know, scene surrounding it with this the hype for this team and going up against a divisional rival and then completely blowing it within. Yeah. I think it was like three goals in like a minute and something or 3 minutes or something. It was a ridiculous and unfortunate way to end a game.
Even the start of the next game with the Rangers, we think we gave up like three goals in the first.
Yeah,
it was 4 minutes I think of that game as well or something.
And it was a lack of. And here's the thing, I feel too. There was a lack of trust at that point. Once that happened, a lot of guys weren't trusting the system. They weren't trusting each other, and when you have that, that's a problem, because like the defense was doing their own thing. It seemed like they weren't in sync with the rest, and Bob was getting shelled. Bob put a lot of blame on him, but there was also a lot of defensive lapses.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm not a coach, so my analysis of this situation could be completely off. But I feel like when the defense was not performing in front of Bob. Not even just the defense, but, you know, offensively, you have to play defensively mm-hmm. too. And when everyone collectively is not playing how they should in front of Bob, I feel like Bob is then going out of his comfort zone mm-hmm. to go to make that extra save, to go out and, you know, do
and
something
and
that
and
he's normally not
so.
Used to. And doing so, he's coming out of what he knows. And I feel like that kind of let more pucks go by.
Well, not just that. That three-game stretch, Henrik Lundqvist. King Henry was playing out of his mind.
Oh, he was phenomenal. He still is. I mean, there's he had a couple saves.
I mean, the Blue Jackets we're out-shooting our opponents. In a lot of those games, we had 30-something plus shots, and the other teams were in, like, the low 20s. But we were getting beat by a couple goals because, of, like you said, defensive play in front of Bob was bad, and mm-hmm. Bob was trying too hard. And because he's out of his comfort zone, he was giving up rebounds left and right that we don't see Bob do. He usually takes that puck and holds on to it.
Yeah, that was another thing. He wasn't trapping the puck. And that was one thing that was bothering me. Like, he's so good at trapping the puck. Mm-hmm. And he was letting these huge rebounds go out. And the defense was so busy covering their guy that there was another guy coming in off the forward line, like, oh, man. You know, and so that whole stretch was just a conglomerate of a lot of things happening. But I do believe that Yarmo and JD made the right call. I love the Richards family and Todd Richards. Yeah. You know, they did a lot for Columbus, and we'll always love them.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know,
I mean, he
– When when he walks into the arena, we're going to say, hey, coach.
Yeah, I mean, Richards definitely – he brought history to this franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, he got them their first ever playoff win.
Two.
Two. I mean
– Home and away.
Home and away. And, you know, he's
– And overtime.
I think
– Three things accomplished all at once.
And I think the – Both of his seasons, we had like a record amount of points in a season, mm-hmm. wins and all that stuff. So he brought so much to this franchise. So he'll definitely always have a special place.
He always
here
had a winning
Columbus.
Record here.
Yeah, I mean, his overall winning record is a winning record, or his overall record is a winning record.
Yep.
So,
he's a good coach, and I don't believe that he'll be on the bench very much longer.
No,
I believe if there's another coaching move, he'll be there.
I don't know. He did say in an interview he wanted to take some time off, spend time with his family. It's the first time in many, many years he's been able to do so. So you never know. You might see Todd Richards behind a bench again, maybe at the start of next season when teams start making
changes. Well, he had a busy summer. I mean, if you think about it, in the spring, he was coaching Team USA.
Yeah. He's a busy man, but we now have a new coach behind the Blue Jackets bench, and that is John Tortorella. Obviously, that's pretty well known by now. Mm-hmm. And he's 2-1 since taking over the job as the Jackets head coach. Obviously, you know, it's way too early to tell if that's, you know, because of him or not. But obviously, when he first got hired, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of uncertain. I'm like, I think that Jackets just kind of reached and got a big name guy. But now that he's had about a week plus with the team and I've seen his interviews, I really didn't know John Tortorella beyond what the YouTube clips that I've seen.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows John Tortorella for his he's not one to shy away from his opinions voice his opinions, and he's not one to shy away from telling you like it is, as we've all seen videos of his interactions with
and
reporters.
Honestly, you know, I kind of respect that in a sense.
Hey,
just
tell it
how it is.
We all know that some of these reporters, when you watch some of these interviews, they like to kind of ask the questions or try to.
They want
to
get a rise.
They want to get a rise, or they want to say things or ask questions where when a coach says something, they can kind of turn their words a little bit and make some juicy stories or whatever for the sports world. He doesn't take any of that crap. He's one that'll put you. Oh, and also, if you're a reporter, if you listen to our podcast by any means, make sure your phone's on silent before you go into a press conference with him.
But yeah, I mean, overall, you know, we've had about a week plus to evaluate this. What are your guys' thoughts, Matt? We'll start with you on the hiring of John Tortorella.
Well, because I'm the oldest here, I actually saw him coach during the 2004 season when he took Tampa Bay there. And, you know, the Freddie Modines that were on that team.
He acts like being old that we weren't old enough to watch that. I think that was like my freshman year of high school.
Really?
When they won, 2004.
2004? I thought they said 94.
No, 2004.
Okay, I'm like.
94 was the Rangers, I believe.
Yeah, that's correct.
I was 5 years old at 94.
No.
But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. but I don't know how much, you know, like, but I watched that team all the way through. And I always liked Tampa Bay and what they brought to the table. And, you know, I think his style, his defensive first style was not, kinetic to the New York market, because they're about like scoring goals and being flashy because it's New York. You know, the bright lights are on. I don't want to see defense. And so that style for New York was different. And watching him with this Jackets team, that's what we like. We like hard-nosed, win it all takes type of hockey. I don't care how ugly it is as long as it's a W. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Columbus, that the team is built for
him. I disagree with that one, because last night we got the W, and he didn't say, I don't care how ugly it was, we got the W. He straight up said in the post-game press conference that, we looked like we just didn't look good.
Well, he said that, but we were like, okay, we got the W.
Okay, as fans, yeah.
Yeah,
but that's not
going to
get you the wins all season long.
No. But, I mean, like, the win ugly like that, that we don't care, right? At this point, we're 2-8.
Yeah, we're desperate.
Yeah, and so, like, if you win ugly, like, I thought it was going to be a 1-0 game. I mean, for a long time, that last night.
0-0 going through two periods, and I think we had, like, maybe 10 or 15 shots, if that, or on goal. It was pretty bad offense-wise.
But, I mean, that's what I thought. I thought, like, okay, if we get W, it's going to be 1-0. Yeah. And so, and then the alabaster box broke open in the third period, and it was scoring right and left.
One thing I want to take from the New Jersey game, and like I said, I'm not, you know, some professional analyst, but the fact that we can win a game – even when we played bad.
Yeah, I mean,
proves that, you know, the talent's there. You know, if we can win and squeak out wins when we're playing a bad game, a slow game, like Tortorella said, and, you know, as long as Bob is strong in between the pipes, you know, that just proves the talent's there. So when we do have a good game, you know, we're going to be, you know, I don't know, do great.
Yeah, but I do.
Being do great. That's NASCAR fan English or grammar right there.
We're going to be being do great right there, y'all.
Well, I used to could.
Well, I mean, my thoughts on
– I'm going to start tweeting that, by the way, on the artillery. So when you hear it, we're going to be doing great.
Oh, great. That's going to be a new hashtag now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Jackets be doing great. Or doing. I don't even know how to say it anymore.
We'll repeat it. We'll replay it later. I forget, too.
But as far as my thoughts on the Tortorella hiring, here's the thing. I mean, again, all due respect to Todd Richards, but it's good cop, bad cop. Todd Richards is the guy that would always start off his press conference that – you know, or not always start off press conference, but a lot of the times it came across as like, yeah, we might not have played well tonight, but we did our best. We'll go out there and try better next time, where we needed that kind of guy, you know, and he was also a player's coach, you know, one that all the guys loved. And Tortorella's kind of like that Herb Brooks in a way. I don't care if they like me. I just want them to play their best and win. Mm-hmm. And from, you know, hearing stories from players in the past, all of them have said that while he might not be the easiest guy to deal with, that he always makes people better. That's his thing. He strives to make you better. He will push and push and kind of take these players to places they never thought they could go before and further until he finds that kind of breaking point where, you know, enough is enough.
Yeah.
Matt was talking about the defensive side of the game. He's one of those guys that, from what I understand, runs the triangle a lot, and it's not the most exciting style of hockey there is. And another thing is, which we've already started seeing, he loves his block shots. There was already a cartoon that I saw not long ago of a Blue Jackets player standing in front of a cannon taking a cannonball to the chest while Tortorella's behind it. And it's just kind of a joke towards the fact that he wants his guys down in front of those shots all the time, blocking shots, which is going to reduce the number of shots your goalie's going to see.
This is the type of hockey that's going to win championships. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. I love him. I love his no-nonsense approach to everything. So
I like how he's still learning everybody, and he made all the guys wear their names and numbers on their practice jerseys.
And the fact that
he's like, go over there.
He's not afraid to even say that in the media. Like, we'll get asked the question, how do you think the team did? How did they do on this certain aspect of the game? It's like, honestly, you know, I'm still learning them. I don't know.
The best part during his press conference was when he was saying that right now he's kind of leaning on the players, and he knows that he needs to listen. Like, when everybody thinks of Tortorella, they think this guy's in your face, screaming, telling you what you've screwed up and all this sort of stuff. But he even just said, I need to listen. I need to get to know my players and all that stuff. And he's been very calm and collected, which I guess a lot of people have been a little scared for. Like, how is this guy? This guy went from being one of the biggest hothead coaches in the league to now he's been nothing but calm after taking over a team that hadn't won a game yet. Yeah. And he hasn't blown up at any press conferences yet. Maybe his year and a half off or whatever, you know, broadcasting and everything has done him some good.
Yeah, I think just give it time. I don't think you can't come into a situation and just start yelling right away. You know, you got to earn the respect of.
Oh yeah,
guys.
And I don't mind a coach that maybe gets a little hot, goes off at the players, or maybe is a little mad during a press conference. As long as we don't see any more Calgary Flames, Vancouver Canucks locker room brawl style incidents, I think everything will be good here in Columbus.
I'd be down for maybe.
I would like to see that, but he's probably at practice like that little Bieber kid. I like him. He's a little fast guy, and that Jack Johnson. I like his guitar playing.
Great music. All right, so when we come back, we're going to talk about the surprises of this season in terms of players. We're going to give our one surprise that we're like, oh, this guy's doing good, and the one surprise of, eh.
I like
surprises. He's not doing better. We'll be right back on the Fifth Line Podcast.
Bye.
I'm Jordan, joined by Matt and TJ as always.
Did you miss us?
I doubt they did. But
why did his game name get to go first this time? I got introduced first at the beginning. I should always stay at least second.
Well, you know
what?
If you're not first,
we're
you're
going.
Last.
We're going youngest to oldest in this case.
I like to.
We're going beauty before age.
Mm. Whatever.
Although I should be first then in that category.
Well, that's debatable. We're going to talk about our surprises this season in terms of players who. We each are going to pick one player that we're like, oh, he's doing awesome. That's cool. Great. And then we're going to pick a player like, he's not doing so hot, and I think he needs to turn it around a little bit. So,
I'm not going to say anything negative.
Yeah, don't say anything negative there, Matt. We have to be positive.
Oh, okay.
We're supposed to uplift the fan base.
Yeah, blame it on me.
It's all your fault.
Dang.
I mean, I already blamed it on everybody who's listened to our podcast should know who Mari is. Our quote-unquote personal assistant and such. She moved.
Who's all the way out?
Yeah,
Colorado.
She moved all the way out to Colorado and hasn't been to a single Jackets game up until the game against Colorado Avalanche.
Hey, and they won.
Yeah, so apparently she was what we needed to break the streak.
All right, thank you, Mari.
Thanks, Mari.
TJ, we'll start with you because since you were whining earlier about not getting to go first,
it wasn't whining; it was justified.
All right, whatever.
It was not justified.
Who is your biggest surprise?
I'm probably gonna steal a guy from you guys. So I gotta say, Boone Jenner.
Dang it!
I mean, come on. The kids put up what, 6 goals? Or I think in the
we
first.
We can't agree on everything. Nobody
the first 10
listen.
Games. We got to be positive, so I want to talk about the bright point, which is Boone Jenner. If you want your Boone Jenner, you know, I'll talk about another guy, Brandon Dubinsky.
No, it's all right.
You take your Boone Jenner. I'm going to take Brandon
it's too
Dubinsky.
Late now. Everyone already knows.
You will not see mine coming.
Well, I'm going to go with Brandon then. You can discuss Boone. Brandon Dubinsky, especially since Tortorella's come in, he's got a lot more responsibility put on him. But during that whole, you know, 8-game losing streak before we got our first win, Dubinsky was one of those few guys I've seen out on the ice constantly playing with that speed, that intensity, that heart. You know, he was getting mad. I remember the gif that went out after one of the, I think the Jackets 6th loss when Dubinsky slammed his stick down across the boards in front of the bench and somebody just said, we're all Brandon Dubinsky. He felt the same way we did. He hated losing.
Yeah.
He didn't know what the heck was going on with his team, but he kept fighting and fighting and trying to find ways to win. And now look at him. He's scored a couple important goals for us the last couple games there. You know, helping the Blue Jackets get some wins. Tortorella's moved him up to the first line right now,
first
playing
line.
Center.
Yeah.
And he logged what his career high is, but he logged 22 minutes in our win, I believe it was, or maybe it was the loss against Minnesota.
Yep.
But, yeah, putting up around 20 minutes a night is a lot for one player.
All right, who are you kind of surprised that's not getting off to the greatest start? But obviously, you know, they're probably going to get rolling eventually.
This is kind of a two-guy thing, and you'll see why. That sticks the defensive spot. I'm going to say it's filled by Golubov right now in my mind. And I don't feel like from what we've seen of Golubov in the past, maybe it's just because he's young, he's paired with another young defenseman in Ryan Murray. They're both struggling to find their game. But Golubov, and then on the other side of that is Kevin Connaughton. We haven't seen him pretty much almost all season. I think one game so far, the opening night, and then it's been all Golubov all season. But I've seen Golubov make some mistakes, some turnovers that have led to goals going the other way.
He had that one penalty where it was two penalties in one, and he had to go away for four.
Oh yeah, and we ended up giving a goal during one of those one of those power plays.
He's decent. I like him though.
I mean, do like him too, but I feel like in times when we're maybe struggling, I know we need to be more defensively sound.
He's a young guy.
But Kevin Connaughton's been around the league for a little bit now. He's been with our team, had more playing time last year, I believe, than Golubov did, and while the offensive upside would be great, I still think that, I mean, with the way the defense has been playing, you give him another crack or two in the lineup. There must be something that the coaches don't see in him yet to where he's not getting the extra playing time.
Yeah. I'm going to go next because I always go last, and I deserve to go next. So I'm going to go.
I have no say around here.
I'm
going to
go with Boone Jenner. Shocker. Everyone doesn't know that. I was going to say that.
Oh, my gosh, what a surprise!
I know, but he leads the team with 6 goals, which is pretty awesome. And
pretty cool.
And he's always, to me, he's always in the dirty areas, you know, getting the job done. And he's always finding a way. He's picking up the shots. He's getting the rebounds. He's putting them on net. And he's found six goals.
A lot of people said that when Torts got here, that grinders were going to be rewarded.
Yeah.
And he's been rewarded.
I think Boone is one of the biggest grinders, I think, between him and Calvert probably.
Yeah.
On the team.
Can we throw a quick plug in with Boone, too, and mention that because we haven't had a chance to talk about this since the season started, Boone Jenner is one of two alternate captains right now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, we haven't talked about that.
Both mine and your picks, Boone and Dubinsky, both wearing the A's for the Jackets this year. They opted to go with two instead of a home and away crew.
17-38. They're like, hey, what's up? Hello. Sorry. All right. My biggest kind of like, and this is not a knock on his play because I think he's, you know, he's still all over the ice and he still does a great job, but he's yet to register a point on this season. Can you guys guess? He's somebody that you probably would think would have a couple points by now. Probably a goal, a couple assists.
Foligno?
No, he has like 6 points.
Oh. Calvert?
Calvert, you're right.
I was thinking that. That was obviously in my head, but.
But don't get me wrong, because, you know, he's a hustler. He's always making things happen.
Matty Hustle.
From my perspective, you know, at some point, those got to start translating into points, and they haven't yet. He's still got the goose egg.
I will agree. His offensive production has been down, but he's still out there really grinding and doing the things he does best, the penalty kills.
He is.
That
he's in
your
there.
Face, hard nose, tracking guys down and just creating havoc at times for him.
Yeah, he does create a lot on the ice, but like I said, I think eventually, maybe it's just a product of eventually your hard work gets rewarded and we're just not seeing those points on the board yet. But obviously, you know, he still is kicking butt out.
I mean, that whole fourth line, for the most part, he spent a greater part of the season so far. It's only been 10 games, but on that fourth line with guys like Campbell and Clarkson. And now, you know, he's moved up since because now it's Clarkson and Bork on the wings of Campbell. But, I mean,
while Johansson's out, it seems like, because Bork was a healthy scratch when Joey was in there.
Yep, that's true. But, I mean, their line so far the fourth line hasn't been, you know, a scoring line necessarily. They're kind of out there just grinding, taking up some minutes, playing some defensive hockey. I don't really know how many times, if at all, that the fourth line's been out there when a goal's been scored against the team this year.
I don't know.
I'd have to go back and watch every single goal scored against us in order to figure that out.
Buckeye State Hockey, help us.
Yeah, where are you, Corsi?
Matt, your turn.
Oh, my turn?
Yeah.
I get a turn? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And you know so what? The next segment, what are we going to talk about?
So, hey, when
shut
we come
your
back,
pie hole.
Let me come back.
Both of you, shut up.
All right, go.
Thank you.
Shut up and talk.
I'm talking.
About nothing.
All right, no. Well, I'm going to say something. My pick for best player right now on this team.
I bet I can guess it.
Scott Hartnell. Mm-hmm.
Every single time we have something to choose, it's always Scott Hartnell.
No,
him.
Listen.
Must be the old guys sticking together.
You better believe it, okay?
They have their AARP cards and everything.
Hey, listen, you know what? And we get half off on our dinners. So.
Do you have the Golden Buckeye card, too?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? I'm jealous.
You should. Mm-hmm. Because I can go in the Cracker Barrel, be like, slam it down, and be like, boom, give me some dumplings.
You mean Golden Corral?
Oh, I'm not going there.
Isn't that where all the old folks hang out?
No, they go to the smorgasbord.
Oh, I've never been there.
Okay,
see,
doesn't
sound like a place I'd want to go.
You obviously don't know our
family.
So why
do you pick Hartnell?
All right, so Hartnell, you got to watch the little things that are happening on the ice. It's not always what's on the limelight. It's what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Scott Hartnell is and Dubinsky, granted, are creating offense. They're creating they're getting double teamed with the puck in their possession. And they're finding outlets for these guys to create offense. They're starting it. Scott Hartnell is playing a defensive mind type of mentality. And I've seen him throw his stick a few times, too.
Yeah.
And the last game he got rewarded with that laser beam that went right past Snyder. And that was because of a going to the boards, going to the dirty places, and coming out and making something happen.
You guys keep talking about dirty places as if we need to clean up some things around the arena.
Well,
they weren't. No.
Did you ever watch D3? You got to pick up the garbage.
Got to pick up the garbage.
You got to pick up the garbage. Yeah. So you and now the guy that I would like to see improve, and that's just because he's kind of been irrelevant as of late, is I would like to see David Clarkson do something. I think, you know, he's a great skater. He goes out there and plays hard every night. I just wish I could see him get rewarded for that. But the where he's at right now in the lineup, it's not rewarding. And so I would really like to see him step up a little bit. Maybe, you know, I think his skating right now is a little suspect, maybe at times in this new system. But I like what I'm seeing out of Scott, and I'd like to see more out of Clarkson.
Well, let's make just real quick a few honorable mentions. Cam Atkinson, coming off of his benching, has been playing quite phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And then also two guys that Coach Tortorella said, frankly, he'd never heard of before, Wennberg and Carlson.
Yeah.
These two guys
those
have literally
guys are, they're getting
these guys
time right now.
During the Jackets game, they were talking about these two guys have been playing together or, you know, in some fashion since like juniors or junior worlds and stuff all the way back in Sweden. I always forget.
Yeah, they're
Sweden, Switzerland.
It's the Norwegian connection. Norwegian connection.
But these guys have always been, you know, 1-2 with
Scandinavian.
1-2 for, you know, pretty much their entire career. And they've been tearing it up, I mean, for the most part, you know, both being very young guys. Wennberg only in his second year. Carlson in his real first full outing, you know, with the Jackets. They've both been some pretty key parts for the team.
They have some well-deserved playing time.
And here's an honorable mention on the other side of the team is, I'd say, discipline. Those penalties, man, they've been killing us. We've been on the we've been on the penalty kill more times than we probably should in 10 games, and a lot of those are preventable, stupid penalties that we're taking in plain sight of the referees.
This can feed into the next topic. We're not going to take a break on this one. We're going to take a break after this one.
I'm parched.
So you're going to suck it up, okay?
The
Jackets didn't get their first water break and coach towards first practice until 17 minutes in, so you shut up. You're not even moving. You're literally sitting on a couch.
But I have Gatorade right next to me.
Okay, well, take a drink. Move your mic up. Nobody wants to hear you drink it.
Well, I don't want
to
make all the rattling.
You know what's great
sound.
About the show? We have these wonderful thing called mute buttons.
Mute. You're muted. Go.
I'm not muted.
Yeah, you are. Don't. You're talking, but nobody can hear you. All right. So looking down the barrel to the next opponent, we play Washington in a day or two. I don't know. I forget.
Friday. 2 days.
2 days. They're 6-1. They are a pretty heavy metropolitan opponent.
They're
so
a metro
from
opponent.
What you were kind of saying, TJ, you know, on the penalties being stupid. Basically, I want you guys to give me three things rapid fire on how we can how we need to play to beat a 6-1 team in the Metro Division so we can get those 4 points. Matt, three things rapid fire. Go.
Play the net. Go to the net. Play north south. Second of all, block shots. They're going to be there. Second of all, take care.
That would be third of all.
I can't count. It's rapid fire, man. I screwed up my math.
Second of all. A, B, three.
All right, so your third point.
Okay, all right. So third, make sure their star player is in check at all times.
That's who's that? I know. That was sarcasm. TJ, rapid fire. Three things the Jackets need to do in order to beat their metropolitan rival. Not really rival, but opponent at 6-1.
First thing, puck control. Keep the puck out of their possession, the less likely they have chances to score with it. Secondly, transitions. Not only to get into the offensive zone, but also getting back to play defense. We need to speed that up. And like I said earlier, discipline. Don't take dumb penalties.
Yeah.
Some penalties, there's good ones to take. There's ones you can't avoid. But the ones you can, don't take them.
That's a good one. I have that in mind as well. I said stay out of the box. No dumb penalties. I have it written down right here, especially late in the game or late in the period too. I feel like we typically do that and we kind of give up
a
goal late in the period. And then, you know, it all goes downhill. Not all goes downhill, but, it, you know, it doesn't – it's not good going into
things
the next –
Things happen, and they're not good.
Things happen. Need to play a full 60 minutes. We've been kind of notorious to playing a great first period, an okay second period, and not a really good third period. Play it fully out. Play a full 60 minutes. And don't be too fancy. This is one thing that I feel like the Jackets are kind of
– Being too cute.
Being too cute. Just don't be cute about it.
Don't be cute.
Just get the puck to the get the puck to the net and play Blue Jackets hockey, blue collar.
Can I add a fourth second point?
Sure, Matt. Whatever you want to do.
Neutral zone. Control the neutral zone.
That's a good one,
that
too.
Between the two blue lines, control that.
Well, then a fifth second point is score more goals than the other team.
Oh, yeah, because we're 2-0 when we score more than that.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I think we've never lost a game when we score more goals than the other team.
That's a really good stat. How'd you must have, like, really done your research.
Oh, I had to go back season after season after season on NHL's website to find that out.
If somebody would fact-check him and let us know, if we actually won every game we scored more goals than the other team, I want
to
know.
I'm going to cyberspace right now.
All right, thank you. All right, so, hey, when we come back, we're going to play a little hypothetical. It is election-ish season, kind of. Not, I mean,
next month is the election.
Yeah, next month.
I mean, there is a
debate
that's going on.
There's a
debate
happening.
Right now and stuff, so.
You know, the presidential crap is happening. There's also, you know, your local elections and stuff coming up.
We have issues.
So we have important topics that we're going to talk about coming up right after the break. Are back. Welcome back to the Fifth Line Podcast. I'm Jordan, joined here by two weirdos,
Matt Pfeffer and TJ Nokar.
Again, I go second.
No, you don't. I said my name first.
With the election season, like, on hand.
Vote for Pedro.
I don't know how to transition that. With the election season happening among us, we decide, well, Matt actually came up with the idea that we pick somebody that should be the president of the United States and the vice president of the United States, but we pick these people based off of that they are within the Blue Jackets organization.
Yes.
So they can be a player, they can be a coach, they can be a past player, they can be in the front office, they can be Rob Mixer, who's awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's just say the one guy that automatically gets counted out, and I just recently got the T-shirt from Homage. We can't put Tugnutt into the discussion. He's already had a presidential campaign
and
from the fans.
I feel like we should take Torts out because Torts already had, like, his own little campaign, didn't he?
So yeah, there was a fan, at the New Jersey game that had Torts president. Although, he would be a great president. Just imagine, like, State of the Union addresses with John Tortorella.
Yeah.
Just think of how mad when some other country, you know, is making him angry or something, or his Secretary of Defense, you know, didn't do something defensive-wise because, you know, he's such a big heckler on the defense.
I can see his press conference. That was a dumb question. Next.
Hey, I wish presidents would do that.
They need to.
Politicians in general. Just, you know, cut to the chase. All right, so I'm going to pick for president of the United States, Jarmo Kekäläinen.
Jarmo Alphabet.
So in other words, before he becomes president, we need to change our rules that say you don't have to be born an American citizen.
Yes, precisely. I don't think a lot of people in hockey can qualify as president of the United States.
If Donald Trump's wife becomes the first lady, she'll be the first unnatural born first lady.
Oh, but
what is considered an unnatural birth?
She was a test tube baby.
You mean the first lady born not in the United
States.
My
words are what I mean in my head, not what I say.
Unnaturally born. Is that like...
She's the first one that was ever legitimately brought down by a pelican.
I've never seen her belly button, so clearly...
Was she brought from another planet?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to stop talking now.
Probably a good idea.
Okay. Dang it.
All right, so Jarmo Kekäläinen, because he's so intimidating, and everyone knows it, and when he wants to get something done or a bill passed, so all you guys, he just got to look at you. So my vice president to Jarmo Kekäläinen is going to be Jody Shelley.
I like that.
Because if – think about it. If the another nation or another politician does not do what Jarmo Kekäläinen says, Jody Shelby would just beat down the door and beat him up.
He'd be the first vice president to constantly be wearing hockey gloves until
just
a disagreement happens.
To any room and just drop the
He'll
gloves.
Be the first Canadian vice president, too.
you're just going all sorts of international here.
You know, I'm trying to be very...
Since he would be the Canadian vice president, would he be of unnatural birth as well?
Yes.
I think he was an unnatural birth, Jody Shelley. He's a he's a whole other beast.
He's a monster.
Well, you know, I like to be PC. You know, we live in a PC
Lake Erie
world,
monster.
A PC world. So, you know, we got to let everybody within in the whole world can have the opportunity to be president of the United States.
Yeah,
you got to be politically correct.
Well, like I said, we can make this happen.
I am a PC bro.
I have a Mac.
That's a South Park reference.
I know. I have a PC.
So who's next?
God bless.
Who's next? you know, we'll let Matt go. We'll save the best for last this time.
Okay, Matt, go.
Well, best for last.
Do you not know what a PC?
Politically correct.
All right, I'm making sure.
I knew that.
All right.
I don't have any political correctness. You know that.
No, you just said I had a PC.
I know. I'm going from the Mac PC things, but
gotcha.
I'm not politically correct either.
Well, no.
No, I say what I say.
And his unpolitically correct, unnaturally born selections for president and vice president would be?
This whole podcast is unnatural right now, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, my pick for president would be Doobie.
Okay.
Alaska native. Probably hunted moose.
Hey, he could pick Sarah Palin to be vice president.
Possibly. But I don't know if he. I don't know if he'll go that route.
Probably not.
I don't know what would happen on that. But like, he's probably had caribou and moose. He's probably hunted it, so he would be a good hunter. He would hunt down anybody who messes with America.
America.
And hashtag. You know, so I think, and I think Doobie, you know, being the alternate captain for us, has leadership skills, and I think he would have a balanced budget.
Okay.
I think he about. And I think he could cure world peace with his fists. Mm-hmm. So I got Doobie for president.
So create world peace through the use of violence.
That's how
America's been
that's
doing
what
for
it happened.
200 years.
Jeez. Freedom DJ. Ain't free. Freedom ain't free.
Go
freedom,
fast, turn left.
Freedom don't sleep, TJ.
That's right. And terrorists don't either.
These colors don't run.
And that's right. Man, we got all kinds of like truck stop cliches going on right now. All right,
who's your vice president?
How much of this is going to be edited out?
Yeah, let's go with that. My vice president, and I love him to death because he's my boy.
Scott Hartnell.
Heck yeah! Number 43, just like Richard Petty's car.
You would almost think Scott Hartnell is like providing with Hartnell Down t-shirts or something. Like, if there's a Scott Hartnell fan club, Matt's got to be the president. He's got t-shirts and buttons and all sorts of stuff.
I might go to Ha Ha Hartnell, the little thing that he's doing, the comedy tour type deal.
Just don't go up there to try and be a comedian because nobody's laughing at your jokes.
Oh, whatever. Come on. We're all laughing.
Although if he just goes up there and holds a general conversation with his unnatural bursts and political incorrectnesses and stuff, people will probably get a kick out
of
it.
They're just laughing at your stupidity.
Not stupidity. It's called not using my words correctly.
All right.
How about that?
You just, your thoughts crawl up in there in your brain.
Yeah,
and
I got a lot going
on.
There's, there's a lot going on, man.
Since when did this become a Southern podcast?
When on and all,
well, I have to
when I get talking NASCAR, like I'm no joke. My voice does change.
I think we all do.
It happens.
So then, why is it when we talk hockey, do we not start talking Canadian?
I say A every now and again.
But just about anybody can do that.
All right. Well, you know, give me your president and vice president.
I didn't even get to explain Scott Hartnell, but that's okay.
You've said enough.
We already knew it was Scott Hartnell anyway. There's no explanation needed.
He wears 43 because Richard Petty. That's why I believe anyway.
Probably not. But we can go with it.
So I'm going to go with my president because, you know what, everybody wants a president maybe we don't. We want a president that gets stuff done, but also can be a bit of a smooth talker and tell it like it is. And so I'd have to go with John Davidson. He goes from one president to another president. I think he, just like he's building a team brick by brick, he could build this nation up brick by brick. And then I'm going to have to go with another American boy, Buffalo native, for vice president there and get Captain Fliggs the vice president seat there. Why not?
Nobody hates him.
I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? You get to go meet the vice president. He gives you a hug.
Yeah.
I would like that.
I'm putting Bob as Secretary of Defense.
I got a hug from him.
That's actually great because he's defending the goal.
Yeah.
I got a hug from Foligno.
Yeah, I know. You've told everybody.
I know.
All right. So that was very unproductive.
But you know what? That segment, it was fun.
It was TG's. Good times. But hey, when we come back, we're going to take some Twitter questions, and we also put out some Twitter polls. And then we're going to wrap this baby up. We'll be right back here
around
on the Bitline Podcast. And we are back to the Fifth Line Podcast. Jordan, TJ, Matt here, and we are all presumably naturally born.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Well, we think so, at least.
Sorry about my vocabulary, guys. I need to go back to school.
All right, so
Hooked on Phonics worked for me.
We're going to roll right into the Twitter question and polls. Twitter has a new feature with Twitter polls where you can pretty much ask anything and your followers can answer. So that's what we did. We got three questions out there, or maybe four, I don't remember. First one, after three games, do you like the direction Coach Tortorella is taking the team? The Fifth Line responded, and 96% say yes. So there are 4%.
4% of those people probably didn't even read the question. They just kind of accidentally clicked while
scrolling
through.
I actually got about two or three people that responded, like, I accidentally clicked no.
We'll just go with that.
They were just scrolling through, and they accidentally hit it on their way scrolling through the timeline.
We'll go with that. But 662 people voted, so thanks for voting on that poll, guys. That's a big chunk of people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next question. With 72 games remaining, do you believe the Jackets will earn a playoff spot? 462 people voted. 82% say duh, they will. And 18% say nah, they won't.
I mean,
those 18% don't need to be at Nationwide Arena then. That's in my opinion.
Okay.
Those 18% are probably fans of other teams that don't want to see us make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be a realist here, though, when it comes to the fans' response and say that, in all honesty, I don't agree completely with that response. But, however, I do think it's not that I don't agree with the fact that they'll make a playoff spot. I think it's guaranteed because they're going to go 74-8 the rest of the year.
Absolutely. So
that's not unrealistic.
No, not at all. I mean, we just literally have to win all 72 games in a row. 74-game win streak's nothing, right?
No, not at all.
It would just be the world record.
That would definitely be an unnaturally born win streak.
It would be.
Yeah.
Very unnaturally born. Last poll question we have here. This one's pretty intense.
Okay, so that decides that there's three, not four.
There's three, not four. I thought I put out four. I think I was trying hard for a question. I just couldn't think of one.
That was unnatural, right?
It was very unnaturally trying to come out with me. So
you're welcome, world.
This question is Glenn from The Walking Dead really dead? Do we know?
And man, I'm telling you.
41% say yes, he is. 59% say no, he's not.
I've already got a whole theory as why the 59% are correct.
I do, too, because when he fell down, that one guy fell on top of him.
Not to mention whose intestines are all the way up by their throat.
Exactly. And then you see them coming out.
Yeah. I mean, like the shock at the beginning, though.
Yeah.
Huge. Like, I was like, are you kidding me?
And I think I was watching The Talking Dead, which is the follow-up show where they talk about The Walking Dead. And somebody, I think the host said, this is not the last we see of Glenn. Or one of the people on the couch said that. I forget who
he
it was.
He climbed underneath the dumpster and he's hiding under there or something.
Yeah, I don't think
it's a flashback to the old show where him and Rick and stuff, and they were wearing the clothes covered in zombie guts or whatever, and were walking through all of them.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I mean, they didn't say in The Talking Dead – they didn't say his name, or they didn't put it on the screen in the
as in who died.
Yeah. And I was
they
like,
always do that.
And I was like, I'm glad that one dude died though. He was getting on my nerves. So,
yeah.
Nicholas, is that his name?
Yep, I believe you're correct.
That episode was about as gruesome as the first eight games of our hockey season.
That's an unnatural born zombie apocalypse.
But you know what? We're turning this season around, and we're gonna end on that note because I don't feel like answering questions. But if you guys have anything else to add, I think
I always have things to add, but I'm not going to say
anything. Yeah, we don't want you to add anything more.
No, nope, it's just a matter
that,
of...
That would be unnatural, right?
Be unnaturally boring.
We just need to go out there and win again on Friday night. And then Saturday, it's Halloween night.
It is.
If I'm not mistaken, a certain somebody I know has gotten exclusive permission from the Jackets and Nationwide Arena. It looks like a makeshift Boomer will be making a return to the arena on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, anybody that was maybe either at or saw pictures from Highball in Columbus this weekend saw a individual dressed up like Boomer walking around, and I actually happen to know the guy. He's actually a sub on my hockey team. So
he lives on. Boomer lives on.
I know. I said there were reports that he was around Highball.
Yeah, this one's not quite the giant inflated version that we're used to, but it's a Boomer nonetheless.
Well, I mean, it's like a Sasquatch.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, Boomer lives on.
He lived.
Everybody loves Boomer, and I think we should bring him back.
We've had this campaign for several years now to bring Boomer back.
Yeah. One day it'll happen.
Yeah.
One day he will roam the halls of Nationwide Arena again.
Yeah, and give out free shirts.
Oh, yes, the free shirts. Everyone loved the free shirts that came out of Boomer.
Who doesn't love free shirts?
Yeah.
That's why you have a T-shirt cannon?
Yeah, we do.
At Mike Todd Tower?
Yeah. But, hey. I think we're all done here. This is a wrap.
This is a long podcast, guys.
It was, but
we were catching up.
We had to catch up. It's over an hour long probably, but I'm glad y'all, if you are still listening, thank you for listening. And, we had a lot to say.
Yeah, hope we didn't waste your time, but we usually do.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
But, hey, check us out on, go to wearethefifthline.com, see everything that's going on there. As always, you know, follow CBJ Nation on Twitter, Instagram, and then Snapchat. I don't know what all you do now.
Yeah, I don't remember anymore. It's a lot to keep up with.
Same with the CBJ Artillery. We're on every social media platform you can imagine.
We are thefifthline.com. We'll have a weekly report now called The Fifth Line Report.
Yeah, actually, we'll be posting that later on this week. So
yeah, by our friends at Martini Hockey.
Yeah.
Old Mr.
Well,
Boston.
I think with that being said, the only thing we really have left to say before we get out of here is keep the fifth line hot.
Yeah. Aww, you took it away from me.
Hashtag hot.
It's hot.
All right, we'll see you on the next pod. Bye.